Yeah, so today I was thinking, gosh, Barry, you got to let me do this more than twice a year because, man, it's kind of nerve-wracking sometimes, but, it's all good. I really appreciated the worship, actually, with Laura Lee. Thank you, because just getting into that heart zone, it's so good. It really helps. So today I want to talk to you what I believe to be one of the most precious things that God has given us. It's both valuable and vulnerable. It has the capacity of filling us with inspiration, taking us to victories we never dreamed possible. Yet this same part of us can flood us with defeat and leave us feeling utterly abandoned and alone. Used properly, it has the power to move mountains, but neglected and mistreated, it can bring us to total poverty. Today, I want to talk to you about what the Bible calls our heart. The Bible has a lot to say about this precious member of our being. And of course, I'm not talking about just the physical heart, even though sometimes it seems like it kind of sits in there, doesn't it? The Bible describes the heart as the very core of who we are. It's a place where God meets us, where meaning and purpose finds its place, where music on a church stage goes from just being notes and words being sung to heartfelt expressions of worship. It's where hands are lifted high to God, not because it's your mechanical religious duty, but it's a natural expression of your love to Him. So the heart speaks a language that is uniquely its own. It's a gift from God, and it's the primary way that we communicate with God. Unlike any other creature on the face of the earth, we are made in the image of God. So when we say we believe in God, that's a truth that only your heart can understand. If you're a believer in God, you've started this journey by making that heart connection with Him. You've gone through the same door that every one of us have through Jesus Christ and began that journey through your heart. So I'd like to start by looking at a key scripture, and a lot of us know this one, Romans 10:10. And it says, "If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." So the minute you accept Jesus Christ into your life, you begin a process of transformation. And whether you realize it or not, you began the process of allowing God to change the beliefs of your heart. It's the only way we can really say we believe. Right, we can say that intellectually in our minds. Say, yeah, I believe in God or whatever. But when it comes down to it, it's a belief of the heart. And it's something I think we really need to get. Because if we're really going to get all that God has for us, if we're going to really connect with God, this is where it happens. Right? It's in that quiet place with Him. It's in that place of connection with God. And I think intellectually we can know a lot of things, we can learn a lot of things and a lot of scriptures, but until we still really start to quiet ourselves, it's kind of interesting how this morning, it just seems to be, I don't know if it's just me noticing it, but there's been a lot of prayers and sort of things said along those lines that it's through our hearts, right? It is well with my soul. You can't say that intellectually. It's well with my soul. It is well with my soul. The Bible says this, and therefore it is well with my soul. It's something you believe in your heart. It's like, even though everything around me looks crazy, there's no money in the bank, I'm struggling, a loved one has died, whatever, right? But it's well with my soul. This is the language that God uses. He speaks to us through our hearts. So I want to start kind of with a definition, what is our heart? So I found this definition online. I thought it was pretty concise and it made sense. The heart, according to the Bible, is part of man's spiritual makeup. It is the place where emotions and desires begin. It is that which drives the will of man toward action. So the physical heart is an organ that pumps blood. However, the heart of man, as described in the Bible, is primarily a spiritual organ that drives man's behavior. And that's one of the main points I want to make in this message, is that it's so key to what we do, what we hold in our hearts is like, that's where it all happens, right there. And it's for this reason we need to allow God to continually shape our hearts. It's not a one-step process. You know, there's definitely I believe there is a radical transformation that happens when you come to God, when if you've accepted God in your life, which I believe most of us here have done in this room, and if you haven't, and this is something that you're kind of on the, you know, considering, please talk to me later. But it's not a one-step process. It begins with salvation, but it's something that God will carry us through right till the day that we leave this earth. And it becomes not just, the way I like to see it is it's a journey that God brings us through. And we can go as far as we want with it, or we can harden our hearts and we can pull back. Doesn't mean you're going to hell. Doesn't mean you're going to be lost. But it means you're going to miss out on a lot of what God has for you if we're not listening there. So I want to start off with a few points. And my first point, and I want to kind of pose the question, why are my heart beliefs so important? So the first point is because my relationship with God is established in my heart. So we've talked about that already. And I want to look at a passage of Scripture that I believe shows you some keys to kind of how God changes our hearts and how he does that through his word. And so if we go to that passage here next, to Matthew 13. And we're going to go right from, I'm going to do 3 to 8. This is the parable of the sower. And then there's a few more verses later where Jesus actually explains what it means to the disciples. So we'll just kind of jump past a couple spots. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And then he's talking to his disciples, and they're like, oh, we don't quite understand. So then we jump over to verse 18, and Jesus explains the parable. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that what was sown in the heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed fallen on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So we see here a picture of how God is using this analogy of sowing seed. And I found it interesting that if you look at basically, if we jump back to slide 6, David, we'll see there in verse 18, or 19 rather, where it says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. But I find that interesting how even though the person didn't even understand it, it was still sown in their heart. It's kind of interesting, eh? So I think what happens is with the Word of God, when we reread the Word of God, we take in the Word of God, something gets sown in our heart. Now, depending on what's going on with our hearts, just as it illustrates, right? Rocky ground, you got other cares, cares of the world. You know, it's kind of, you can almost liken it to a crowded heart. You got a lot of stuff in there already, different ambitions, things. So God's word kind of takes a little bit of a root, but it doesn't, you know, sooner or later, the other stuff becomes more important. And this is part of what I really want us to get is that when we're following the truth, when we're allowing God's word to take root in our lives, it's not something you can just do with your mind. It's not something you can just hear once and say, yeah, okay, sure, I get it. Like, you know, somebody could say, oh, God will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5, I think it is. Great, good for you. You can quote that chapter and verse. But when that person feels abandoned and alone in their heart, and you rattle off a scripture, it doesn't mean anything, right? So basically, it's when the word takes root in your heart and begins to grow, that's when it becomes established. And it's how God speaks. It's how his word works. And I believe it's why Jesus always used parables, because he really wanted you to meditate on it. He wanted you, when he talks about us being planted by the rivers of water, right? That gets its nourishment from the ground that is established in him. So I want to look at another verse here that kind of describes, I'm just kind of going with this. I'm skipping a lot of notes here, by the way. I'm just going with this. And I'm just like, God, okay, you work through the heart, so we're just gonna engage the heart here. Slide number 9 there. If you go to John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's like we have this picture, like we're totally intertwined with Jesus. We're totally intertwined with God. All the nourishment that branch gets is because it's completely a part of him. Right? So, you know, this is kind of how I thought about it. The truth isn't like some little grape you just pluck up the vine and, hey, wow, cool, I understand that now. It's like, no, you're actually intertwined with this thing, right? Like the picture he gives us, it's inseparable. Jesus says, you know, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't even do, right? So it shows us that God is really so intimately connected to us. When it comes to his truth, when it comes to what he shows us, right? It's done on the heart level. We're connected to him. Some of the language in there, like, yeah, I mentioned the branch draws its life. Without him, you'd be lifeless, you'd be dead, you'd be separated, right? And the Bible actually describes that when you're not born again, you are separated from God. We don't have that heart connection with him until we accept him into our life. So we align ourselves to him, and when we accept that we are an inseparable part of who he is, and realize all of life's pleasures and purpose, all of our strength and stamina, our brilliant moments, our sense of humor, everything, right? When we acknowledge God as our source, then we are aligning ourselves to the truth. Truth with a capital T, because Jesus actually described himself as the truth. He called himself the truth. He is the very essence of truth. So that's my first point, is that our relationship with God is established in our hearts. And the second point I want to go to is because my actions are determined by my heart beliefs. So this is the part that really interests me I've been given a lot of thought to lately. I've actually been following some teachings by Jim Richards. I don't know if any of you ever heard of him. But he has a lot to say about the heart. And I'm actually on it's kind of like a 30-day, he calls it Heart Physics Essential. It's a 30-day program, about halfway through it. So a lot of this is being stirred up in me, kind of because of that. But what I find interesting is that the more I look at it, the more I study it, like all of our actions, all of our behaviors, all of our habits, these are all things that are established from our heart beliefs. And it's not logical stuff. You know, like advertisers know this stuff, okay? They know how to mess with your heart, right? You may think you're buying that because it's on sale and it makes sense and that's a logical thing to do, but there's psychological and manipulations that they can do that get to the heart level on stuff. And I might get into a bit of that later. But the scripture I wanted to start this off with was Matthew 15:18-20. And this is a kind of a revelation. God is showing how our actions stem from our heart. And in this particular passage, he's talking to the Pharisees. They were accusing him of, you know, you shouldn't be eating on the Sabbath and blah, blah, blah. And then he comes back with this. But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile a person. And that's what they were griping about. He was eating with unwashed hands. So he shows here that, you know, evil thoughts, that's the only actual thought thing that he's got on there. And then he gets into actual actions like murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. All that stems from a heart, from a sick heart, really. And all of us can relate to this on some level. We've all done things that we've regretted. We've all fell into temptations that why did I do that? And, you know, dealing with that whole thing. And logically, your brain, you know, your brain says, that's not the right thing to do. But your heart says, I don't care, man, I'm doing it. Right? And again, we're moved on the heart level. The heart will always trump the mind eventually. You know, you can have a strong mind and say, you know, I'm going to stick with it. Yeah, yeah. Sooner or later, you're going to have a weak moment. And the way I look at it, too, it's like, you know, what are the thoughts that start coming to your head when you're just chilling out and there's no pressure? Nobody's asking you to do something. You're by yourself. Those thoughts that emerge, those feelings that come out, it's coming from your heart. Right? What do you like when you're alone and nobody's watching? Well, it's you're acting out of your heart, right? Proverbs 4:23, we're instructed, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Pretty straightforward there. It's everything you do flows from your heart. So in a lot of ways, that your heart, it's like your sense of self. You know, I mentioned like when you're not trying to control yourself, your heart will begin to determine your behavior. You know, how I see myself has everything to do with what I believe in my heart. You know, and in scientific terms, if you want to get scientific about it, I believe what science calls the subconscious mind is your heart. That's basically your heart. It's everything. It's how you see yourself. It's the things you do. It's the triggers that you have, I can't remember the statistic exactly, but it's pretty crazy. But like your brain takes in, like your subconscious can actually recognize 4,000 to 5,000 bits of information at any time per second, right? Like it's a staggering number. But your brain filters it out and only registers about 4 to 6 bits of information. And there's so many directions we could go with this, but like the mind is like the gatekeeper for the heart, right? And this is why it's so important to renew our minds also. And I preached a bit on that last year, that the renewing of your mind, it will determine what goes in and out of your heart. And God's given us our minds. When we take in the word, when we read a scripture, we are reading that, right? We're making a decision to do that with our mind. But then what happens is we've opened up a channel to our heart, and then it begins to affect our heart, right? So the two work together. Often the mind will be in conflict with the heart, if the mind has right information, but the wrong, or the heart has the just the wrong belief, right? So then the two kind of come and clash with each other, and I believe that's also a lot of what the war that we battle is that battle, right? We know the truth in our heads, but our hearts are saying, I don't believe that, right? You know, God said he'd provide all my needs. Well, hey, look, man, like, God helps those who help themselves, okay? And trust me, my dad taught me, you know, you work hard for your money and that's it, and there's lazy people and you don't, you know? And these are beliefs that are written in our hearts at a very young age. You know, again, talking about the subconscious mind, science will say, like, or studies, I should say, have shown that between the age of 0 and 5 is where most of your personality is developed. You know, hope you had a good childhood. You know, it's not exactly encouraging if you're just looking at it from a scientific point of view. Now, with God, this is where it gets cool. Because with God, we have the ability to rewrite upon our hearts. God's power has the ability to transform your heart. That's the whole power of what he's given us, right? Like, it's incredible. And if we really get this, bondages, strongholds, bad habits, addictions, like, all of this stuff gets short-circuited when we begin to allow God to reprogram our hearts. That's where the freedom comes. And religion, okay, religion will tell you in your brain, do this, do that, you know, and this is part of what I believe a lot of us, in my opinion, and a lot of people in church struggle with today, is we're learning things in our head, but our hearts aren't hearing it, right? It's like that seed that's thrown out. We kind of get it for a little while, and and then we get busy, and we're not letting it take root. We're not really becoming convinced of that truth. And when it begins to grow in you, it's there. It's rooted in you, right? It becomes part of who you are. It becomes part of what you know. And I know all of us have experiences at some point in our life where God did something where he just branded you. He just showed you, this is, I will never leave you, or whatever it was. Maybe you were struggling financially. Maybe you're in a tough situation and God came through and God has written that in your heart and you just know it. Nothing can shake that, right? And that's part of what he brings us through as believers. But I mean, if you had a situation, okay, like, let's just use a simple example. Like, you've been put down by your parents maybe growing up, and you know, they don't, and I'm not here to, we can never really cast blame on anybody. I think at some point you have to take responsibility for what's in your own heart. And because God's given us the tools to renew our hearts, then there's no reason we ever have to stay there. But if you grew up in a situation, say, where, you know, you're told, oh, you'll never amount to nothing, you're nothing but lazy, blah, 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 blah. And that's what happens is, as you go through life, you don't even realize, but you carry this in your heart. It's part of your identity, right? It's part of your, like, I don't know, you know, this opportunity comes up, right? Where, let's just say, okay, you're making $50,000 a year, and you're thinking, yeah, it's not bad, you know, it's a pretty good job. An opportunity comes up to make $80,000 a year. What happens is, what your heart will immediately look at this thing and say, I don't know, man. I don't know if you're an $80,000 a year kind of guy. I think you're more like a $50,000 a year kind of guy. And you don't even realize this stuff's going on. You're given the position, you have it, you know, you do something stupid. You get in a big argument in the office. The manager has to step in. It looks really, next thing you know, you're demoted and you're back where your heart was comfortable. And I don't know if you ever heard the term self-sabotage, but we do this, right? Like, if you really start to look at human behavior, and I've encountered this myself in business, I've seen it happen where it's like this opportunity comes. This could be a really good opportunity. I don't call the guy back. I'm just like, what? Like, what happened there, right? And just next thing you know, it kind of dwindles off, fades away. By the time I take some action, it's not there anymore. And what's really interesting is, as a Jerry and I have been doing this together, this heart work, just in the last 2 weeks. It's just like God's opening up these new opportunities, and I'm seeing that, and I'm just kind of like, I don't know, it just feels right. I think I just got to go in this direction. Next thing you know, I meet the right guy, make the right connection. And what God wants to lead us into, and I called the message, you know, living the abundant life through a transformed heart, because this is where it happens. When God begins to transform your heart and change your heart, suddenly things will change in a way where it's actually effortless. Like it'll actually become normal, right? When a blessing comes your way, or this opportunity, it's just like, you know what? Yeah, let's just do that. It's not something you even have to work at. it's almost too good to be true, but I really believe in this. When God starts to change your heart, it becomes effortless. You know, another analogy I had here is like, okay, like say you feel like you're a 72 degrees kind of person, right? That's my room temperature. I'm comfortable there, right? And somebody comes in and turns up the room to 98 degrees, right? And then you're like, oh, okay, I'm a 72 degree kind of guy. Like, this is way too hot for me. So what happens? The air conditioners kick in, right? That's the self-sabotage. It brings it back down. It brings it back down to where you see yourself, where you think you're comfortable. And maybe you're totally happy being a 72 degree kind of guy. I'm not saying that you have to be, you know, like maybe somebody's happy just having a little business where they're making a living with an employee or two. I'm totally happy with this. Perfect. But it's just that we have to recognize that we set the level, okay? We decide where we're going to be. And that can be a tough place to get to. You know, I don't know how you guys are with all this so far, but like it took me a while to get to the place where I realized that everything in my life was an exact representation of where I believed I am. The financial state I was in, whatever my condition, my relationships were in, whatever struggles I had, is an exact reflection of what's in your heart. And that can be good news, or that can be really hard too at the same time, because I think the reason it's hard is that many times we look outside of our hearts. We look, well, it was because of this. It was because of my upbringing. It was because, you know, that guy, you know, badmouthed me at the office, and that's why this happened, and it's his fault. It's not mine. But when you come to a place where you realize, wait a minute, that all transpired the way it did because of my beliefs. Now there's nobody to blame, right? Now the only thing that's left is for you to look at your heart and say, God, what went wrong there? Where did I believe wrongly? Now, I'm not saying trials don't happen. Don't get me wrong. Like, life is full of trials. I'm going to talk a little bit about that too. Because I believe this is part of how God changes our hearts too, is through trials. So there are some things that are out of our control. Some things are self-inflicted, okay? But God uses it to teach you something about your heart. And if you're always pointing it back to your heart and saying, okay, God, show me something. Show me where I believed wrong, right? Is this making sense to you guys? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah, so it's a big subject, right? There's a lot of directions I could go. But the point I was making there, your actions will always be a reflection of what you believe in your heart. And your actions will always determine where you end up in life. So in the end, the heart trumps the mind. Learning more information alone does not have the ability to convince your heart. The heart will relentlessly believe what it must. We can fight against it. We can try and go in a different direction. But eventually we'll come to a place where we realign our thoughts and our behaviors to the inner truth that's inside us. It's how we see the world around us and inside of us. It's the lens that we look through, right? We evaluate everything through our heart beliefs. It's the regulator that pulls us back to reality, okay? The air conditioner that kicks in. It pulls it back, right? It's what governs whether we crawl or whether we soar. Beliefs of your heart. And it consistently fully manifests itself into the outside arena of our lives. Our relationships, our workplace, our goals, our lack of goals, our successes, our track record of failures. The golden rule of the heart is this: whatever we believe on the inside will always manifest to the outside. Jesus reveals it. What comes out reveals what's in the heart, right? It is out of the abundance of the heart that man speaks. It's whatever is inside is eventually going to come out. And any of you, if you ever put somebody in a pressure situation, you're going to see what that guy believes, right? Where they're at. Pressure has a way of bringing it out. Trials have a way of bringing it out. So what we believe on the inside will always come on the outside. And this works for good stuff too, right? I mean, I've used a lot of kind of negative type examples, but you know, it comes with your beliefs, everything, like with your relationships, the kind of relationships that you seek out, with provision, with your home, your family, right? Like whatever picture you hold in your heart, you know, you will move towards that. You will take actions that move toward it. I want to have a great relationship with my kids. You're going to find time to spend with your kids. It's not going to be like, even when you're super busy or whatever, your heart will find a way to do it because that's what your heart believes is important. So your heart goes in that direction. So we talked about how the actions determine our heart beliefs. And the third point I had on here was my heart beliefs have the power to move mountains. And this is where it gets exciting, because Jesus gives us some pretty exciting examples of what a believing heart can do. Mark 11:23. Okay, I don't actually have it in here, so I'll just read it. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Like, whoa. Because if Jesus said it, that's true. That is an absolute truth. Okay? Doesn't mean we just go around commanding mountains to fly around and it's going to happen. Like, no, it won't. Because honestly, do you really believe that mountain's going to move when you say that? Probably not, right? So I don't think this has ever been done. You know, I had one believer, he told me he actually saw a mountain bend when he said that. But I don't know, man. But fortunately, fortunately we don't have to go throwing mountains around. But this is a scripture that you can stand on. When your heart begins to believe that, this is something where, and it's not in your head. It's not just, if I say this 50 times, it's going to happen. This is something that has to take root in you. It doesn't happen overnight, right? It happens when you believe for a little thing. And you're really struggling for that bill that had to be paid or whatever. It's coming up this Friday, Lord. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm just trusting you with it. Somehow this is going to get paid. And I remember times like this as a young believer, like, wow, this suddenly I had did this little side job. I had some money and I was able to pay that bill. Because in my heart, I believed that God is going to somehow answer this. I can't logically explain it. And I don't know where I'm going to get the money, but somehow it's going to work out. I'm going to be able to pay this. And it does, right? So God's word was planted in your heart. You stood on it. You acted in faith. It takes root. It now has grown that much more in your heart. Your faith in God has increased that much more, right? And God brings us through these things. And I'm sure we all have stories about different things that God's done for us like that. You don't become a mountain mover overnight. Now, I think we could get there a lot quicker than we think, myself. I think if we really honed in on the heart and start realizing that with God, Christ in you. I mean, come on, like Christ is in you. Is there anything you can't do if Christ is in you? Again, I could say that in my head. Does my heart believe it? Does my heart know that? If you know that and you believe that, that's incredible, right? That means nothing is impossible. I just want to share one story about somebody that Jerry and I both know. A few people know him. His name is James Smart. He actually shared his testimony here about a year ago, I think. But I think it was really cool because he had a heart belief. He was a heroin addict, you know, hardcore heroin addict on the methadone program. And if you know anything about heroin, methadone is the drug that you take when you come off of heroin. And if you don't, if you stop taking it, you go through like major withdrawals. It's just, apparently it's not fun. But he felt the Lord tell him, dump out the methadone. It's over. And he was on a pretty fair amount of dose, I think, at the time. He went into his fridge, because it's refrigerated, took it, dumped it all out, zero withdrawals. Just complete zero, total miracle. He had a belief in his heart. God revealed something to it. He believed it in his heart. He stepped out in faith, and a miracle happened. And that's really how it works, right? If he didn't really believe that, I don't believe it would not have worked. Even if it was like, well, I heard God say that. I don't know if this is going to work, but I'll try it. No, it's when you have faith in your heart, it's like a knowing. It's like when God, when the faith that moves mountains, like you said, right in the scripture, right? Whatever you say and believe, it has no choice but to occur. It's a settled issue in your heart. And even if you don't see it happen right away, a lot of miracles are like this too, right? You don't see it happen right away. I don't know. I just know it's been done. It's going to happen. The finances are going to be there. I can't explain it. It's just they're going to be there. And sure enough, it's there. And then when it does come, you're not even that surprised. You're like, yeah, that's what I expected. Yeah, that's what I thought. And that's the kind of belief he's talking about. And I think we do ourselves a real disservice sometimes when we religiously do something or, you know, and I'm careful with this with, you know, again, it's just my opinion more, but like, say when it comes to healing and different areas like that, like there's a lot of times where if I'm not believing that and feeling that in my heart, I might not be doing that guy a favor by pretending to, oh, in the name of Jesus, just, you know, I'm just like, I don't know if that worked or not, but hey, at least I tried. Because what happens is we teach ourselves, we're not learning the language of the heart. We're not learning what it means to move in faith, right? And when Jesus talks about this kind of faith where you're moving out, stepping out and moving mountains, it's a knowing in your heart. It's not a blind command that you're following and wondering if it's going to happen. Does that make any sense? So the belief, it comes from God. And, you know, this shows up in all kinds of ways. Maybe throw up that Henry Ford slide too. This is not scripture, of course, but this one really popped out of me because I think it reflects this truth, right? One man thinks he can, and one man thinks he cannot, and they are both right. You know, it's whatever you believe, right? It's whatever you believe in your heart. You know, another example I thought of is the whole placebo effect, right? Have you heard of that, where somebody goes to the doctor and they give them a medication apparently, and all it is a sugar pill, and the person takes it, and now they're feeling better. Well, they actually had a belief that this was going to cure me, and it does, right? Like, it's just wild. I think this stuff, God's just showing us how our hearts work, and I would even go as far to say, this may ruffle a few religious feathers, but this stuff will even work for a non-believer because it's the way God made our hearts. It's the way we operate. When somebody steps out and does a business venture or something, total non-believer, there's a belief in his heart or her heart, this will succeed, I will go in this direction. The next thing you know, the right opportunities come, the right contacts come, because it's the way God designed us to work. We think and move from our hearts. With the power of the Holy Spirit, we can move mountains. With the power of the Holy Spirit, the part that I believe is so critical about it is that it changes our hearts. It changes our heart beliefs. Because if we stay stuck in those old patterns and those old beliefs, then we just basically go around the mountain year after year after year. And what the Bible wants us, what God talks about, what he wants for us is us to go from glory to glory. He wants us to go from mountaintop to mountaintop. Doesn't mean you have hard times. You're going to go through some valleys, right? You're going to have some ups and downs. But God wants us to have a progression where we're growing in him. We stay stuck with the same old heart beliefs. We go around the same mountain over and over. Still going to heaven, right? You're still saved. It's all good there. But you're not experiencing what God really wants for you. And that's to have a transformed life. To be transformed from the inside out. To see miracles. To see relationships change. Whatever it is you're dealing with. Your financial situation. Your personal life. What you struggle with. All of it. You know, God wants to be involved in every aspect of your life. And it's through the language of the heart that he works. I'm just going to kind of skip ahead here. So I want to talk about one area, because I don't want to just talk about the heart and how the heart is everything and then just leave you with nothing, right? But I do want to talk about one area where I believe that God uses hardships, he uses trials to change our hearts. And I want to propose to you that if you're going through something that's hard or difficult, maybe the question to ask is not, why am I going through this? When is it going to be over? But maybe the right question to ask is, Lord, what are you trying to teach me here? Where am I not trusting you here? Why am I fearful? Why am I struggling? And allow that situation to be something that can transform your heart. So I want to show you a scripture from Psalms. In Psalm 119, and this is David talking. He says, though the arrogant have smeared me with lies, I keep your precepts with all my heart. Their hearts are callous and unfeeling, but I delight in your law. It was good for me to be afflicted, that I might learn your decrees. See, He's always given us the ability to overcome. You know, it's his heart desire that our heart comes to the winning side of every situation. That we would rise above the situation. With the newfound freedom and life we have through Christ, we have the ability to write his truth into our hearts. By meditating on his word, we can convince our hearts of the truth. We can begin to eradicate the lies that we have believed in the past. We can begin the process of renewing our minds. And the mind develops patterns of thinking and it stays in certain ruts, but God's power can break that. And in a difficult situation, we can delight in God. I believe the Word of God can take root in us in a way that it wouldn't normally, unless you're going through that difficult situation. Because it brings you to a place where you're like, God, I need your help here. And whatever I was doing or whatever is going on, I don't have control of it. But I need your help to show me how to deal with this. And I think it's in those moments where God can really begin to do some of his best heart work, where the walls are down, we're not proud, we don't think we know it all. And I think it's a path. I mean, it says it's through much tribulation that we enter the kingdom of God. There's no shortcuts around that. I believe God will bring you through whatever he needs to get you in that place. And for some of us, it's more than others, right? I don't think it has to be a difficult process. I think that once we really understand that God works through our hearts this way, then we can be proactive about it. And like I mentioned, like I'm doing a heart physics program right now. It's honestly, it's revolutionizing my life. Like, I'm seeing things that I just never saw before. I'm feeling things that are just wow. And I'm not trying to make stuff happen. All I do every morning, and I can tell you more about it later if you want to know about it, I just do a half hour of meditation with God, Christ in me, every morning. And just knowing that Christ dwells within me. And just saying a few things over myself, reading some scriptures. But it's His transformational power that's at work. And, you know, the Bible talks about striving to enter the rest. Like, sometimes you have to work at it a little bit, but there comes a point where it's God doing the work now. It's not you, right? And religion will tell you, you got to read your Bible, you got to do this, you got to do that, just, you know, all these things. Then, okay, now you're here, now you can go here. And why do we find ourselves frustrated? Why do we find ourselves still struggling with the same things 10 years later, 20 years later? Because it's coming from your heart. It's because you have a wrong belief in your heart. You can say, yeah, God will never leave me, never forsake me. I feel alone. I feel abandoned. It's your heart. The heart has all its own sets of beliefs. And God is in the business of changing our hearts. Amen for that. I'd like to close in prayer. And I just want to say this too, that if this message is speaking to your heart and you want to pray with me after, I want to actually, I'll have Laura Lee and the team come back up. And, yeah, and if you're in a place where you're like, you know what, I'm on this heart journey and I want God to open up my heart more. Some of us have walls around certain areas, and this is where it gets hard too, right? God wants to speak into certain areas in our life, but you know, the Bible also talks about how our hearts can be hardened, and through various things that we, there's blockages that are there and stuff like that. So if you need any prayer along these lines, or you just want to just generally come up for prayer for anything, we'll open it up for that. And we'll probably have a few people maybe come up and pray if we need to. Jerry will be here with me. But right now, I'd just like to close in prayer. So, Lord, I just thank you, Lord God. I want to thank you first, Lord, for the transformed life that we have in you. I thank you, Lord, that Jesus, you made it possible. Lord, you said that you were the door and that anyone that enters comes through you, Lord. Lord, you hold the keys to our hearts, God. You hold the keys to unleashing the power of God in our lives through our heart beliefs, God. And I just thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have made it possible to completely move in a different direction despite what we grew up with, despite what we were told, despite how we see ourselves, God. Lord, that when you said we were a new creature in you, that's where this stuff happens, Lord, is that we have a new identity in you. And we have a new purpose and a new life and a newfound freedom that can only come when you liberate our hearts, God. When you plant your truth into our hearts, Lord, when we become like that tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth fruit in its season. That's solid and immovable, Lord. Only you can do that kind of work in our life. So I just thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray that I just pray for faith to enter all of our hearts right now, Lord. That no matter where we're at, no matter where we're going, you want to make it better, Lord. You want to plant new life, new truth, new adventures inside of us, God. Lord, that you You made life to be an adventure with you, Lord, where we move from glory to glory, where we go from mountaintop to mountaintop, Lord, where we overcome things that have held us back, and they're just like chains that just fall from us, God, and they're no longer a part of who we are anymore. So I just thank you for that renewed life. I just give you all the glory for it, Lord. In Jesus' name.